Hi, my name is Lindsay. I'm 18 years old. Today is April 4th, 2018, and I'm talking with my dad, Jim, who is 72, and he's going to give us his perspective on JFK being shot. So, to start things off, how old were you when JFK got shot?
When JFK was shot, I was 18 years old.
Where were you at the time?
Where was I? I was a freshman at the University of Detroit. I had just had a meeting with one of my instructors, and he told me I did a great job on the midterm. I got an A. It was in an accounting class, I remember very distinctly. And I left his office and walked to my car. As soon as I got in the car, I turned the ignition, and the radio was on. And all of a sudden, there was a news flash. It said, John F. Kennedy has been shot in Dallas. And all of a sudden, I went numb. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is unbelievable. And I started proceeding in the car, and about 30 minutes later, they come out with another news flash. JFK has been killed in an assassination in Dallas. So, I mean, I'm driving home. I had about a 25-minute drive home, and all the time I'm kind of listening to the news reports. I have to remember at that time we had no phone, couldn't call anybody. We had no Twitter, no Facebook, no text messaging, no nothing. And so therefore, the only information we were able to get was from the radio. So by the time I got home, I was pretty much numb from listening to the report that he had been shot. I got home, I turned TV on, and at that time we only had a small black and white TV because colored TVs weren't in existence, or they were in existence, but they were quite expensive at the time and not many people had them. And it was really surreal to watch all the proceedings in black and white because you knew the outcome that JFK had been shot. And that's what happened on that particular Friday. It was Friday, I remember very distinctly. Do you want me to continue for the whole weekend?
Sure, go for it.
So I'll talk with my friends, and we had planned to go up to Michigan State for a football game, as Michigan State was playing the University of Illinois for the, I think it was the Big Ten Championship at the time. So we decided, well, they hadn't called the game off, we would go up there on Saturday morning. And we got in the car, it was, I think, four of us, and we drove up to Michigan State. And by the time we got up to Michigan State, the game had been canceled. And then we had a discussion amongst ourselves, basically saying, you know, this is really unbelievable. The first time we've had any type of a trauma situation in our entire lives because of the fact that nobody had ever witnessed or heard about the president being shot since back in the, I think it was the 1890. I can't remember the exact date, but somewhere back there. And we talked about it and talked about how it's probably going to change our entire lives. So that Saturday, you know, guys that we went out and had a few beers at the time and drove around and discussed it further. But the next day was even more traumatic because it was Sunday, and we're all gathered around before we drove home, all gathered around a little black and white TV. All of a sudden, you see Jack Ruby shoot
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald, thank you very much. On TV, and that was really something to see an actual event like that happening live on TV on a small black and white TV at the time, and that really shook us up. And that was basically then on it was a Sunday that that happened, and then they had showed pictures of Kennedy laying in a state at the Capitol building, and all the people walking by his closed casket was, you know, was quite shattering. But then the next day was even worse because that's when they had his procession down Capitol Street in Washington, and you saw his wife and his two kids at the time, and John Jr.'s saluting the casket as it went by. You know, I'm still a little misty about it right now because you have to understand at the time, Kennedy was really an idol to the majority of Catholic people because he was the first Catholic president at the time. And, you know, and see the whole procession, and then he was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. It was quite a moving situation. If you ever have a chance to see any of the old replays, it does kind of shake you up a bit. Next.
How did you see the United States change after JFK being shot?
You know, I don't really think it changed much, just people were cognizant that the president had been shot. And, you know, they kind of wondered why, who'd want to do it. And there was a lot of speculation as to how Lee Harvey Oswald was able to do it. And there still is a lot of speculation. I personally think there was more than one person that was involved, because I don't think, because I've been to Dallas and I've seen where he was, Lee Harvey Oswald was there in the book building there. I walked the same area where he was shot, and I looked at it and I said, you know, the guy couldn't have been that good of a marksman to shoot him like the way he said. But, you know, that's just pure speculation. I also said that he'd been hired by the Cuban people because of a failed Bay of Pigs invasion. They also said the CIA wanted him dead, and then there's the other one about the mafia had some hand to do with it. Those are the three speculations. And then, you know, it kind of makes you think back and wonder about who actually was involved in the shooting. And to this day, I don't think anybody can say without a doubt that Harvey Oswald was the person that did it. I think there's other people that were probably involved that have been covered up through all the years, and the speculation will stay on until ever and ever.
Going back to the whole TV thing, do you think watching it on black and white TV made it more gloomier than if we were to watch the president being shot today in color, or even seeing it in color TV?
I don't think so, because you had Ronald Reagan was shot, and that was black and white. He wasn't killed, but he was saved by a Democratic doctor. People probably don't realize that, but he was. You know, and he was in surgery for quite a while. And going back to that particular incident, Haig was the second, I forget what his claim to fame was, but he said something that he was in command here and the vice president was command there, but theoretically he was in command nowhere, because the vice president took office for a short period of time when Reagan was shot. Going back to the Kennedy assassination, Lyndon Baines Johnson was sworn in on the plane before they took off for Washington, D.C. with Kennedy's body there on the plane. They had to wait for his body to be put on the plane before they took off. And they swore him in on the plane to be the successor, because according to history, the vice president takes over if the president is killed. And that's exactly what happened. So he never lost a beat in regards to having some type of leadership. They show him being sworn in, and Mrs. Kennedy was by his side, and the two kids were, you know, in the area also, which was kind of an interesting situation too, because they were all on the plane flying back, and it was kind of a sad situation also. But, you know, you think about it, in my lifetime, I've seen Martin Luther King shot and killed. I've seen Robert Kennedy shot and killed. So it almost to the point where I don't know if it pays to be a political figure, because if people don't like you, they sometimes will have a tendency to try to, you know, take you out. And, you know, nobody talked about gun control back then, because the bad guys had the guns and the police had the guns. Nobody else had access to guns, and there weren't that many guns on the streets for the bad guys either. So, taking all these into consideration, I don't think much has changed in respect to gun control, because people are still having problems with gun control. But according to our Second Amendment, we're allowed to carry guns, and that's probably why the gun control committees are so strong, because of the lobbying. Okay, what else? All right, go ahead.
Oh, it's already recording. No. Yes, it is. How do you think the documents involved with JFK's assassination kind of further ensued the conspiracy with the public?
Well, I think probably what happened was, according to what I've been able to ascertain, the documents were held and were not released when they should have been released in a timely manner. They were kept secret for so long that I kind of feel the speculation that maybe there was somebody else or some other people involved in the assassination of JFK. And when you consider that today, we still have about 500 documents that have not been released because President Trump refused to release them because he said something about there was some thing that might hurt national security, and you kind of make you wonder, you know, what could have happened back in 1963 that would affect security today. But I guess, you know, everybody has their reasons, and we're not privy to those information. But if they would have released everything immediately, I think people would have felt a little bit more comfortable with the whole outcome. Excuse me.
Going back to the documents in regards to the assassination, what do you think is inside of the documents that aren't released by President Trump?
I'm not so sure what's in those documents, but some of the other documents that I've read basically say that in September, Lee Harvey Oswald had a phone conversation with KGB agents in Mexico City, and that fuels speculation that perhaps maybe the Russians were involved with his assassination, because the JFK and at the time Khrushchev was prime minister of Russia, and we had just been through the Cuban missile blockade, and there was still a lot of animosity between the two because Khrushchev at one time said he was going to bury us back in, I think, 62. So that could have had some speculation that the KGB was involved. Also, Jack Ruby was the person that shot Lee Harvey Oswald, was known to be a racketeer, and there's speculation that he shot Lee Harvey Oswald to keep him quiet. So he might have been a hitman for some other group that wanted Lee Harvey Oswald dead so that he couldn't talk. But that's another highly suspicious part of the whole information that was released. And then I still wonder what kind of information that President Trump would not release. And we'll never know that until he decides to release it. The majority of documents were released October 26, 2017, but on the 25th anniversary of the act to release them, President Trump at that time decided to block release of thousands of remaining files just hours before the deadline. So that kind of adds to my speculation that there's probably some other hidden information that would cast a different light on the whole situation.
Since we're talking about Russia, known at the time, the Soviet Union, do you think that by JFK not being assassinated, the outcome of the Cold War would have ended differently?
Yes, I believe Kennedy would have been able to end the Cold War in a different manner than waiting until Ronald Reagan got in office to officially end the Cold War. And also, Kennedy had a great love for science, and he is the one that instructed NASA to put a man on the moon by 1970, which NASA was able to do. And I think he had a far-sighted vision about a lot of things in government, and I think the transition would have been a lot smoother than having Lyndon Baines Johnson take office in the manner in which he did. And then Lyndon Baines Johnson did experience a lot of difficulties with running the country throughout his whole course of the presidency. If Kennedy would have been able to continue as president for the remainder of his first term and and be reelected for a second term would have been a, probably a lot easier transition of power than when Lyndon Baines Johnson came to power. And we may not have been so apt to be involved in the Vietnam War if Kennedy had still been president. And those are my pure speculation, and nobody else can probably say one way or another whether those items could have happened. But that's just the way, if you look at history, and Kennedy was a more pragmatic individual and more charismatic individual, and people had a tendency to follow him. And you remember in his inauguration speech, he had the famous quote don't worry about what your country is going to do for you, it's what you can do for your country. I didn't paraphrase it correctly, but I get the gist of it, you know. I'm 73 years old and sometimes my memory lapses. And, you know, if you have any other questions or any other thoughts, I'll be more than happy to try to answer them.
Going back to LBJ taking office after JFK, do you think the transition was good on his part, just because that was a lot to handle in, like, an unknown, like, that was just unexpected? So do you think he handled it well as a human being to transfer from vice president to president in such a short time?
I think he probably did as best as he could, because if you go back, the Kennedy administration really did not like LBJ that much, and they kind of just made him the VP choice so that he could carry some of the states in the South and help him get elected. Bobby Kennedy and LBJ never got along very well, and which is a proven fact. But if Kennedy would have been able to continue his term and be reelected, I think the transition would have been a lot easier and a lot smoother. Yes, I do.
All right, Dad, that will conclude our interview for your perspective about the JFK assassination and all of the other topics that come with it. Thank you for your time, and yeah.
You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit of history with you. I know that you weren't around at the time. You were just a figment in everybody's imagination, but I hope I was able to shed a little light on what transpired. Just remember, all that has happened in the time period from when he was shot to today, and all the great inventions that have taken place in that period of time. And a lot of it has to do with Kennedy's pushing everybody to become more active in space and science. And that flows into the phone that we're talking to, the TVs, computers, and all the brand new technology that has come to be today. Thank you.